We're holding on Kufmem Aleph Amud Aleph, the third line. The Mishnah had said, Ha'omim Yod Ishti Zochav Chola. The Mishnah had described a case where a person says, we said we could be talking about a Shivmana, or possibly we could be talking about a body if he's makne it through somebody else. He says, if my wife gives birth to a boy, then he should get a mona of my nechasim over and beyond what he would get of Yerusha. Or if he says, if I have a daughter, then she should get 200, money is 100 zuz. Or if it's a daughter, she should get 200 zuz. It sounds like we're saying, so we're saying, in other words, that he would rather give twice as much if it's a girl than if it's a boy. So the question is, remember, you're telling me that he would prefer to have a daughter rather than a son, and therefore he would give her twice as much. Rabbi Yochanan says, it was actually earlier in the Masechta as well, in the 8th Perek, Rabbi Yochanan had said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, kol she'ein maniach bein liyoshoi, a person who does not leave over a son to yashin him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mole olav evra, Hashem is angry at him. Shenema, and we see the word evra is in the pasuk tichtit shenema, as the pasuk says, v'hav varutam es nachlosei levitoi. The pasuk describes if a person dies without sons, and then his daughters are going to inherit him, and the expression in the pasuk v'hav varutam means you should cause it to pass. So the simple sense is, as we learned in the previous perek, is because once his daughter inherits it, it's possible for it to pass from one shevet to another, because her husband or her son, who are from a different shevet, will yarshin her. But the Gemara is also understanding v'havartim maloshen evra, maloshen anger. V'ein havara ela evra. The word havara over here to pass, in other words, it could have said, like it says by all the other children, unesatim es nachlosei levitoi, just like by all the other relatives. Instead, it says v'havartim v'ein havara ela evra. So the word ha'avara refers to anger. Shenem yom evra ha'hu, yom evra ha'yom ha'hu. As the pasuk says, that day is a day of anger of Hashem, referring to the yom hadin. Now, how can we say, so the point of the question is, in other words, that we would think a person would prefer to have a son. Now, the question that a number of Mephoshim deal with is, how can we say that? There's many people in the world who haven't had sons. There's even great Tzaddikim, or Rebbe didn't have any children at all. How could we say about such a person that Hashem is angry at him? So there's a number of different points that Mephoshim make about it. First of all, the Yad Ramah says, we're talking about when he didn't try to do period Verivia. He didn't get married, he didn't try to have children or whatever. When he tried, and then Hashem didn't allow it to happen, and listen, you know, he certainly can't be blamed for that. Then the Kovetz Shiurim, Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, holds that what it means is it's the cause and the effect is the other way around. When a person doesn't have sons, it's not therefore Hashem is upset with him. It's Hashem is upset with him for some other reason, and therefore he didn't give him the bracha of sons. In the case of tzaddikim, and in the case of the Rebbe and other tzaddikim like that who didn't have children, you'd have to explain it differently. It wasn't because Hashem is angry at them and therefore denied them children. There would be some other reason, which we of course don't know. Sometimes, of course, it can be because Hashem wants their tefillahs, as we find with the Abbas and the Imaris, were infertile for many years, although they did eventually have children, so it's not quite the same thing, but whatever, Hashem has his cheshbonos. Anyway, the Rashash over here on our Gemara explains, we're not talking about a person who doesn't have children. What we mean is, she'en maniach bein liyosha. He doesn't allow his son to yarshin him, but he does things like what we learned in the previous parak, where he writes out a document that he gives his nechasim to his daughter, or to one of his sons, or whatever. So he doesn't allow his son to inherit him in the normal way. Anyway, the point is that on the face of it, a person should want a son more than a daughter. So why in our Mishnah would we be assuming that he's giving twice as much to a daughter as a son? And the answer is, it depends. L'inyin Yerusha, bein adifle, bein odifle. When it comes to yarshining him, yes, the nachla, whatever, then yes, a son is more preferable. He would want to have a son to take over his nachla, and especially according to the Rashash's explanation, he would want to give it to his son so that Hashem is not angry with him. And an idea would be to continue what the Rashash says, because again, you know, then if it goes to his son, it's going to remain within his shevet, it's going to remain within his family. His name will be known that it was his field, as opposed to if it's a daughter, then eventually her husband or her son's yarshin it, and it gets forgotten that it ever belonged to him. L'inyan harvacha. But as far as giving extra, we're, after all, we're talking about over here giving something extra, 100 or 200, actually the Rashbam essentially says the same thing. The Rashash just touches it out a little more. The point is, on the other hand, le'inyan harvocha, but when it comes to earning extra money, and in this case we're talking about that he's going to give an extra 100 or 200, then bite adifale, then a daughter is better. He wants to give more, because the Rashbam explains she's not going to be able to support herself like the way a boy is going to be able to. So therefore, he'd rather give her more in the first place. Another explanation, actually, there's a Rishon named Rabbi Shmuel ben Chachmon, interesting name, Rabbi Shmuel, but we do find that Jews sometimes bore the name Yishmael. Anyway, this Rabbi Shmuel ben Chachmon says a different explanation, that a person finds that his daughter is usually more eager to serve him and help him out and whatever, so therefore, in that sense, harvacha doesn't just mean the fact that she'll earn more, but the fact that she herself is more helpful to her father. So therefore, he would prefer to give more to a daughter. The Gemara continues, another answer. Shmuel says that our Mishnah is specifically talking about that his wife is going to give birth to her first child. So we're not talking about it. Till now, we were assuming that till now he had no children, and now he's saying that my wife is pregnant now for the first time, and he's a shivra now or whatever. He has reason to believe he's not going to live to see another child. So then we're saying that even though it's true that if he doesn't leave a son, a Chodesh Baruch, a Molad, all of Evra, nevertheless, if it's a girl, he wants, for reasons of Harvacha, to give her more. Now Shmuel is saying, never mind any of the above. We're talking about that his wife is having her first child. So to have a daughter first is better. The Chidur of Chista, like Rav Chista says, the Amr of Chista, Bas Chila Simen Yafel Abanim. When a couple has a daughter first, it's a good simon for sons afterwards. Why that? Some say because an older daughter helps raise her younger siblings. An older daughter helps with raising the kids more so generally than an older son does. So therefore, so it's a good simon to have a daughter first, because then afterwards you'll have more help around the house. The ikadami de la shaltebe en abisha, others say a reason is because that way an ayin hara doesn't go on him, because if he has a son first, people are likely to give him an ayin hara. Look at his good fortune. He had a son first. Mashenken, if he has a daughter first, then people are less likely to give him an ayin hara for that. Marsha gives a different explanation. Marsha says, well, keep in mind, when there's a bechor, a boy, he's going to get a double portion. So the ayin hara, we're not talking about on the father. We're talking about on the son, that the other brothers are going to be jealous of the older brother. Look at that. He gets a double portion for no other reason than because he's the older brother. Yes, there's a logical reason behind it, of course, but still, it's likely to make them jealous, and that can lead to ayin hara. If there's a girl first, she's not getting a chelik bechorah. Therefore, there's nothing for them to be jealous of. So that's another reason that loy shaltebe ein abisha. This line over here, bas tchila simen yafel abanim, is also brought in various contexts in chassidus. There's a word from the Baal Shem Tov on it, that as long as a person feels himself to be a bas, to be a makabel from the Eibishter, then simen yafel abanim, it's a good simen that afterwards he'll come to a higher level of avoda, a higher level of connection with Hashem. And then there's a number of places, there's Maimorim of the Rebbe Maharash, of Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Maharash and all, that talk about the idea that a daughter represents that a daughter represents malchus, and then bas, daughter representing malchus is something else we'll talk about in a minute. But we'll talk about it a little further down the onward. But there's the verse that I think Al Tadeb actually mentions in Tanya, that a daughter represents Yira, and Bonne, as opposed to a son, represents Avodah Me'ava. So therefore, the metaphorically, what the Gemara is saying is, when a person starts off with Bas, with was avoda based on yira, then it's a good simon. Afterwards, he'll be able to wise to the higher level of avoda me'ava. Anyway, the point is that those are various reasons why a person would prefer. So Shmuel is saying, again, we're not talking about this is going to be his only child. We're talking about this is his wife's first child, and therefore we're saying that having a daughter first is a good simon, that afterwards, as far as boys. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chista, Uledidi Binsen Adifan Le Mibnai. Rav Chista says, for me, daughters are better than sons. Now, why is that? So in other words, first the Rashbam says we're talking about having when she has a girl first. But the Rashbam says, well, then it's not only for Rav Chista. What do you mean, Uledidi, only for me? It's for everybody. So then Rashbam says maybe Rav Chista did not have any surviving sons, only daughters, but still he says, Volonisyashvli Yofa Daitish Rav Chista. I really don't understand what Rav Chista is saying over here, says the Rashbam. Tosfos brings that no, we actually do find that Rav Chista had sons. We have in a number of places in Shas, we have sons of Rav Chista that are named here and there. So rather, what it is, Tosfos explains, Rav Chista's daughters married tremendous Talmid Chachamim, the Gedolei Ador of the next generation. Rava was a son-in-law of his, Ma'ukva Bachoma, Romi Bachoma originally, and then Romi Bachoma passed away. Anyway, so therefore, Rav Chista finds more satisfaction in his daughters, because they married such Gedolei Ador. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden adds the point, maybe, that he says that maybe he said this specifically, his daughters were older, let's say, and they already married Ma'ukva and Ukva Bachoma and Rami, and later on Rami Bachoma, and later on Rava, before he knew whether his sons are going to be Gedolei Ador yet. So therefore, and we actually find the daughters themselves were great Sidkonius in their own right, so when he said this, he was saying, he's not talking about throughout his life. He's saying right now my daughters are on a much higher level than my sons. What my sons are going to end up being, I don't know. For that matter, Rabbi Yaakov Emden also adds the point that his sons-in-law, again, Rabbi Ukva Bachoma and Rava and were also his own Talmidim, Talmidim are also called Bonim. So you can say in a sense that my daughters are better because through them, not only I have daughters, but I also have sons because their husbands are like my sons. And one more point is Ben Yehoyada points out, following what Marsha is saying, Ben Yehoyada says, another point is, for most people, it might be better to have a boy first, even though the Gemara had said, Bas Chila Simen Yofa Levonim, because if you have a boy first, you'll be able to do another mitzvah, Pidyon Aben. But Rav Chista, we find in a different Gemara, was a Kohen. He's not doing Pidyon HaBen anyway, therefore he's saying with Yidi, for me and other people in my situation, where Pidyon HaBen is not a factor, then a girl is better for the reasons that the Gemara said before. Okay. So anyway, all of that is another reason why in our Mishnah the person would prefer to give twice as much for a girl as for a boy. Now, the Gemara continues, V'yiboy seima hamani Rabbi Yehudah. Another possibility. So far we have several possibilities. One is that when it comes to harvacha, he would rather give to a girl more than a boy. Either harvacha means, as the Rashbam had said, because she needs more, because she's not going to be able to support herself, or as Rabbi Shmuel ben Chachman had said, because anyway, a daughter is more helpful to him. Another point was, Shmuel had said, we're talking about mevakeres, we're talking about where his wife is giving birth to their first child, and he would rather have a girl first, because again, vastchil the simen yafel the bonim. Now, the boy sema, another possibility, is Homani Rabbi Yehudah, is specifically that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehudah, where we find that Rabbi Yehudah considers girls to be a better bracha. Well, the Gemara asks, hey, Rabbi Yehudah, where do we find Rabbi Yehudah saying such a thing? Ilema Rabbi Yehudah de Bakol, do we mean Rabbi Yehudah's opinion in connection with the pasuk Vashem Beirachas Avraham Bakol, Jitanya, as we learn in a Braise, it was back in the first parak of our Masechta as well, when the pasuk says Vashem Beirachas Avraham Bakol, that Hashem blessed Avraham with everything, so what does with everything mean? Rabbi Meir Oymer Shaloi Hoysaloi Bas. Rabbi Meir says the bracha was that he didn't have a daughter. Now, why would that be a bracha? So there's a couple of different explanations, but one interesting explanation is from the Ramban that says on that pasuk, he says, listen, if Avraham had a daughter, who would he marry her off to? The only son he has is Yitzchak. Now, Tosfos points out that there is an opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the halacha is not like it, but there is an opinion that a ben noyach, which everybody before Matan Torah would bnei noyach, is allowed to marry his sister. So conceivably, he could have married her off to Yitzchak. However, Tosfos gives a couple of explanations why he wouldn't have done that. Maybe she was a ketana and he didn't want to marry her off. Maybe, in fact, she would have been not from Sodah, but rather from Hagar, and he didn't want that to, he didn't want the, such a person to intermarry into the Jewish people. Anyway, the Ramban on the Pasuk makes a different point. You think about it, then he says, so if he had a daughter, who would he marry off to? A woman usually follows her husband. Mela, when Yitzchak is marrying Rivka, Rivka is brought from Haran to Eretz Yisrael, and she's coming to Avraham's household. But a woman usually follows her husband. So if he had a daughter, either she would end up marrying one of the local Canaanim, or even if she married somebody from Avraham's family, she'd go live with them. They'd end up worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing the various other things like that. And what a bizoyan it would be, what a shanda it would be that Avraham's own descendants, so it's direct descendants like that, should be doing such things. So therefore, so according to the mayor, Hashem avoided that whole issue in the first place by not giving him a daughter. Rabbi Yehuda says on the contrary, the bracha is that Hashem did give him a daughter, Ubakurl Shma, and her name was Bakurl. In other words, Hashem Berachas Avraham Bakurl means that he had every possible bracha, including that. So following that, the idea would be, in other words, basically, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that it's true, you do have that consideration, but nonetheless, the fact is, it's more significant that Hashem gave Avraham every possible bracha. As the Gemara is going to go on to say, that Hashem wasn't going to withhold any bracha from Avraham, and since after all, a daughter is a bracha, so he would have everything that a person could possibly want. What would happen afterwards with this daughter, so you wouldn't have the problem? According to the mayor, fine, Hashem would have worked something out, but in any case, we see on the face of it that Rabbi Yehuda says that a daughter is a very preferable bracha. Earlier in the Masechta, when the Gemara brought this, it actually brought it as a three-way machlokas. Rav Meir saying he didn't have a daughter, Rav Yehuda saying he did have a daughter, but without specifying her name, and Acherim saying that her name was Bakurl. Here the Gemara is kind of combining together the opinions of Rav Yehuda and Acherim. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Yehuda, on the face of it, then, is saying that a daughter is a big bracha. So that would fit well with our Mishnah that says that he would want to give her twice as much money. But in Chassidus, by the way, it talks about, this is what I was mentioning before, but I mentioned it in the wrong place, that when we say bas hoyseler bakol shema, the word kol represents malchus. Often we say that kol represents yisoid, but here particularly the Tzemach Tzedek and the Rav Marash talk about the kol represents malchus, and the idea being that malchus itself is only a makabel. It doesn't necessarily have anything of its own. It's less like a garmatum. It's like a moon. It doesn't have anything of its own. So bakol, saying that bas hoyseler bakol shema, represents that Avraham had the perfect of Malchus as it has everything in it that comes from above. In any case, the point is that so fine. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a daughter is a great bracha. Rashi, by the way, mentions on the pasuk over there a different point. Rashi says the point on the pasuk Bakol is for gematria ben, is for gematria son. Now that he has a son, he has to marry him off, which is why this is an introduction to the whole story of Yitzchak getting married. In any case, the point is, going back to the Gemara, so again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a daughter is a bracha, but fine, the Gemara says, Eimer d'shamet le Rabbi Yehuda brata nami lechastre rachmona l'Avram. Fine, we see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Hashem gave Avram every possible bracha, including even the bracha of a daughter. But that differently, and it would also mean, therefore, that he was able to be Mekayim in Mitzvah, Pru Avu. Now, to be sure, there is the opinion of Beis Shammai, in Yevamos, we're going to have it today in Ein Yaakov, that's Hashem actually, that says that you can be Mekayim Piri Viriv with only a son. So according to Beis Shammai, Avraham was Mekayim Piri Viriv anyway, but according to Beis Hillel, he would have needed a daughter, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in that case, Hashem did not deprive Avraham of that bracha. Earlier in the Masechta, by the way, Marsha brings on this point over here about the underlying machloikas. It's like this. The Meir says, listen, you consider to begin with, Hashem created Adam all by himself as a male, and he created Chava as a part of Adam and then separated her out. So therefore, according to that Meir, you can have a complete shleimus with just a boy. So therefore, Yitzchak alone is considered bakol, that he had every possible bracha. Rabbi Yehuda counters, on the other hand, he says, listen, the fact is, a person is not a complete person unless he has a wife, as also the Gemara says there in Yevamos. So therefore, the bracha has to be that he had a daughter as well. Not fine, like Tosfos says, we're not talking about that Yitzchak and this daughter would marry one another for whatever reason. But nonetheless, the fact that he has both a boy and a girl makes complete shleimos that you don't have with only a boy. Rabbi Yehuda would say. Then the opinion that Bakol Shema is saying that itself is the bracha. With girls, you're able to have, it's possible to have more children in the world with girls than with boys. Because after all, a man can marry many wives and have many children before Cherem Der Ben Egershim. So therefore, in that sense, the Gemara had said earlier in the Masechta, Revia Baal Olam, when you have girls, more increase comes to the world. And so Acherim, or here in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, represent this by saying Bakol Shema. Anyway, the point is, fine. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that a daughter is a bracha. But God differently ben me shamat lay. Even there, you don't see that he's saying that a daughter is better than a son. So that still doesn't explain why in our Mishnah a man would be wanting to give 200 zuz to his daughter rather than only 100 for his son. So the Gemara says, Ela ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, we can say it's the following statement of Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya, mitzvah lozunas abbas. It's a mitzvah for a person to support his daughters, meaning even though minat Torah, he's not required to, but the Chachamim said, after all, you have a concept called Mibsorcha Loike Salam. The Pasuk says, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. So therefore, so the Chachamim made it a mitzvah, meaning you're not absolutely required to. What we do is, now that we learned in Ksubas, that if a man doesn't want to support his children beyond a certain age, then we publicly shame him. We make an announcement that he's worse than the ravens who don't feed their children, etc. So we put social pressure on him, but we don't actually force him to support them beyond a certain age. So therefore, it's a mitzvah for him to support his daughters. But kavachomer lebonim de'aski b'Torah, and kavachomer for sons, where the sons after all learn Torah. Divrei the Meir. So that's what the Meir says. So according to the Meir, if our Mishnah had been according to the Meir, it would be the other way around. We would assume that he'd be giving more to his daughter than his son. But Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. Mitzvah lozunas abonim. The Chachamim are making him a mitzvah to support his sons in order that they should be able to learn Torah. But kavachomer lebonis. But Rabbi Yehuda says on the contrary, a kavachomer for the girls, deloy litzalon, so that they don't have to be degraded. Because for a girl to have to go to work or to go begging or whatever, would be worse than for sons. So therefore, so our Mishnah reflects sort of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that there's more of a mitzvah for him to support his daughter. There's more of a mitzvah for him to support his daughter rather than his sons. So the Rosh explains, the Rashbam says, in other words, in effect, what the Gemara is saying is what we said before, that since the girls are not going to be self-supporting, so therefore the father wants to give them more. The Rosh actually points out in that case, then the Gemara already gave that answer before. What are we gaining now by saying that that's according to Rabbi Yehuda? So rather we have the point where before we said Rabbi Shmuel ben Chachmah had understood this in the Gemara, that daughters treat their father more nicely than their sons. So the Rosh says that would be what the Gemara means over here. Okay, so the point is that we have several different explanations why in our Mishnah he would want to give 200 to a daughter when he would only give 100 to a son. All right, the Gemara asks, Ela Hadatanya. Now, what about this, though, that we learn in a Braisa? Now, the question is not that the Braisa, many times when the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa, it's going to be that it seemingly contradicts the Mishnah, and we need to reconcile them. Here, it's not so much that it's contradicting, but the Braisa is giving different figures, and we have to figure out why the Braisa would be giving them. Now, we're not just saying that Stan, we're taking random numbers. If the Braisa is giving us different figures, when we're talking about a boy versus a girl, it's more logical that we're talking about a different scenario. So let's understand what that scenario is. So Braisa says, Yolda Zachar, the man says, if my wife gives birth to a boy, Yolda Zachar Unakeva, that if his wife gives birth to a boy and a girl, Hazachar Notel Shisha Dinarim, then the boy gets 6 gold dinarim, which would be 150 zuz, because there are 25 zuz, there are 25 zuz to a gold dinner. And the girl gets 2 dinarim, which would be 50 zuz. So again, obviously it's perfectly possible that he could say those numbers just stamazoi, but the Braisa would have no reason to give different numbers than the Mishnah, unless the Braisa is trying to teach us a different scenario. So Bamai, what exactly is the case that the Braisa is talking about? So Rav Ashi says, I told over this statement, this braisa, to Rav Kahana, who was my Rebbe, and he explained me the Misaris. We're talking about where he switched around and said and then repeated things in several different ways. De Omar, he says like this. Now, in the Mishnah, by the way, we had where the Rashbam had understood that even though the Mishnah had said Yolda Zachar in a Keva, the Rashbam had understood, we don't mean that we're talking about that if his wife has twins, then he wants to give 100 and 200 to each of them respectively. The Rashbam had understood in the Mishnah that he specifically was saying that he means if it's a single birth, a boy only or a girl only. But now in the Gemara, now in this Braisa, we are talking about that he expects that his wife is going to be having twins. So he might say like this, De Omar, Zachar Tchila Masayim, if it's a boy first, then I want the boy to get 200, or Nekeva Achra Veloiklum, and the girl who comes after him, I'm not giving her anything extra. Nekeva Tchila. On the other hand, he continues saying, if it's a girl first, mana, then I want her to get a mana. Zocha achareha mana. And if the second baby after her is a boy, then I want him to get a mana as well. So now the Yolda Zocha and Nekeva. So in the Braisa, fine. We're talking about that for whatever reason he wants to give more to a son than to a daughter, contradicting everything we said until now. Fine. Some people would prefer to have a son more than a daughter, especially given that we said before that our Mishnah may only be appointed of Yehuda, or according to Shmuel, we may be talking about only when she's having her first baby, etc. Anyway, the point is that, So again, his condition is that if it's a boy first, then he gets the whole 200 and the girl after him doesn't get anything. If it's a girl first, she gets 100 and the boy gets the other 100. Now, the Yolda Zachar in the Keva, now she gave birth to both a boy and a girl, V'loyadin and Heiminayu Nofik Bereisha. We don't know which one came out first. We're not sure whether it was the boy or the girl first. So what happens? Zachar shakal mana mamanafshim. The boy is going to get one mana because no matter how you look at it, he's going to be entitled to that mana. Either he was entitled to 100 or to 200. But 100 he's certainly getting. The idach mana, as far as the second mana, he had said that if a boy is born first, he gets 200. And if a girl is born first, then she gets 100. So that mana, have a mamana multiple suffix. Well, then we have it's money that there's a suffix on, because if the boy was born first, he would get all of it, and if it was a girl born first, she was supposed to get it. So since it's a suffix chokin, so therefore we divide it evenly between them. So that is the case where the boy is going to end up with 150, and the girl is going to end up with 50. Now, Tosfos points out that would work out nicely according to Sumchus, who says that in many cases we say Mamana Mutal B'Safet Chokin. The Chachamim usually say, the Chachamim say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. So one point is, first of all, over here, it's considered the boy is more muchzak in the sense that after the father dies, the boy is going to be the one yaushening him. So therefore, even now, we can say that the nechosim are more in his chazaka than hers, and therefore even the chachamim would hold that he's getting it's in his chazaka. So Tosfos gives two explanations, actually. First of all, we could be talking about where the father afterwards dies, so now the boy is more muchzak than the girl because he's inheriting. And second of all, we could say even the father is still alive, and the boy doesn't have any more of a chazaka than the girl. So that would be why they split it, because neither one is more mochzik than the other. And in a case like that, even the Chachamim against Tumchos would agree that Yechalik. So that's the case of the Braisa where we have 150 versus 50. Okay, well, the Gemara asks Vahod Tanya, what about then we have another Braisa? Let's try to understand another Braisa as well. Again, not because it contradicts our Mishnah, but because another Braisa presents yet another scenario and we have to understand it. Another Braisa says, Yolda Zachor Nekeva Ein Le Elamona, that if his wife gave birth to a boy and a girl, then he has only a mana. So what case are we talking about over here? Ein Loi suggests that even you have a case where you would have thought that there's 200 to be given, nevertheless he's only getting a mana. What is that scenario? Amravina bimvasreni. Ravina says that last braisa is talking about not that he wants the 100 to go to the boy or girl themselves, but rather we're talking about, he's saying, whoever gives me the good news of what my wife gave birth to. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, hamavasreni b'men nifter rachma shel ishti. If the man says, I want to give a certain amount of money to whoever to whoever gives me the good news of what my wife gave birth to, and nifter rachma, to whom she gave birth first, to what a boy or a girl she gave birth to first. So he's saying he's eagerly expecting his first child, and he's saying whoever comes and tells me first, whichever doctor or nurse or whatever comes out to him first and tells me what my wife first gave birth to, then I'm going to give them something extra. Im zocho yutomana, and he says if it's a boy, then I'm going to give that person a mana. So then yolda zocho yutomana, no tomana. So then if his wife gives birth to a boy, then sure enough that person who brought him the news is going to get a mana. Similarly, if he says im nekeva mana. Similarly, if he were to say that if whoever comes and tells me first that my wife gave birth to a girl, I'm going to give that person a mana. Same thing, yolda nekeva noto mana. Then if she gives birth to a girl, then also he gives that person one mana. Now the Rashbam actually brings a different. The Rashbam brings over here a different girsa. So are those who have the girsa we have the girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara, is there are two possible conditions that he made. One is that he explicitly said, if it's a boy, then I'm going to give the person a mana, and he didn't say anything what happens if it's a girl, meaning implicitly, if that was what he said, then if the person comes and tells him, your wife gave birth to a girl first, then he's not going to give that person anything. And vice versa, you might have, he wants a girl to be born first, for any of the reasons that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, and therefore he says, that whoever comes and tells me that my wife had a girl first, then I'll give a mana. So then if she has a girl first, then he gives a mana, and if it's a boy, then nothing. The Rashbam brings, some have a girsa, and the Rashbam prefers this girsa, that rather the Gemara is saying that he said both. If it's a boy, then it should be a mana. If it's a girl, then it should also be a mana. In which case, the Gemara is going to ask soon, well, then as opposed to what else? What else is there going to be? Anyway.
Well, the boy usually gets more than the girl, anyhow.
No, but fine. We talked on Amr-Aleph, there were reasons why he might want to give more. Sure. But here again, we're not talking about to the boy or girl themselves. Here we're talking about Mavasreni, Ravina is saying. We're talking about the one who's going to give me the good news. Yeah. So,
he's out of town, I guess.
Let's say he's out of town, yeah. I don't know. You could have nowadays. He's sitting there in the hospital, pacing back and forth in the waiting room, and he's so eager. You know, you have he and his wife have gone 20 years or whatever without a kid. He's so eager that he's saying, you know, whichever nurse comes out first and tells me, then I'll give her a special bonus. Yeah. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Yolda Zohar Nekeva, if the news comes that his wife had both a boy and a girl, Einle Elamana, then when the Braisa said Einle Elamana, it's talking about that case. The one who brings the news is still only getting a mana. Because according to the first Girsa, which is the Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, the reason is because the father had not mentioned the possibility of twins. He had said if it's a boy, or he had said if it's a girl, he hadn't said anything about twins. So even if he had said either a boy or a girl, that wouldn't imply that he's giving anything extra for twins. According to the second girsa, which the Rashbam prefers, that was saying he did taka mention both, a boy X amount, a girl X amount. Nevertheless, he's not mentioning twins. So if it happened that there were twins, then still he's only on the hook for one money. So the question is, the hazacher and the kevaloi omar, what do you mean? The fact is, he didn't say if it's a boy and a girl. He said, why should he have to pay anything? Maybe he meant only if it's exclusively a boy or exclusively a girl. The answer is, Domanami im zacho and akeva nami yitomana. Fine, so we can say that he also said that. So he said also, if it's a boy and a girl, then also whoever brings me the news will get a money. But now, in the Mishnah, we had, again, the Rashbam had mentioned in the Mishnah that we don't want to say that what he's saying includes the possibility of twins. In the Mishnah, we said that that he's only saying if it's a girl, she should get 200, if it's a boy, 100, and the Rashbam learned in the Mishnah that he's not mentioning the possibility of twins at all, and in fact, that if twins are born, the Rashbam would learn neither of them is getting anything. Because he can make whatever tonight he wants.
The good news he gets.
Right, but still, but no, in the Mishnah we weren't talking about the good news. In the Mishnah we're talking about that he wants to give something to his child. But the Rashbam had learned in the Mishnah that if he only mentions, if my wife has a boy, he gets a money, and if it's a girl, 200, that if there are twins, nothing happens because he didn't include that at all. A number of the Rishonim disagree with the Rashbam on that. The Ramban and the Rashba and others disagree. But maybe not. So the Rashbam learns the way he did. The Ramban and other Rishonim learn that no. In the Mishnah, it's different because in the Mishnah he wants to give to the child. So why should we assume that he means to exclude the case of twins? On the other hand, when it comes to the Mavasir, the Mavasireni, as we're talking about over here, it's more logical to say why he might say, you know what, it's not such great news that I had twins. I'm not so happy about that because it means an extra mouth to feed and it means whatever. So that might be a reason to say that he might not get anything unless he specified that if it's a boy, X amount, if it's a girl, X amount, and if it's twins, X amount. So fine, then in that case, so regardless, then the Mavasir is getting a money either way. Okay, then the question is, Elo Ma'utimai, well then what else are we excluding? If he already said any kind of good news, then the person who's gonna bring me the good news is gonna get a money. So you have a boy, he covered a boy, he covered a girl, he covered twins, so why is he Bechlal mention a boy or a girl or twins Bechlal? He would just say, whoever brings me the news, what my wife gave birth to. And the answer is Ma'uti Nefel. It would come to exclude if the wife miscarried, if the person brings him the news, your wife had a stillbirth, then he's not giving anything. Because that's a zocher and a keva. Unspecified usually means that they're a ben kayama. They're a normal, healthy, living child. So even though he said the men nifter rach mashal ishti with what my wife's womb was first open, which for example, as far as pidyon haben, it would mean that any child born after that is not a bechor. Nevertheless, though, as far as this that he wants to give a mona as a bonus to the person who brought him the good news, then a nafel is not included. Why the Gemara didn't mention the possibility that maybe it comes to exclude if it was a tumtum or androgynous, I don't know. Maybe because in that case it would be a suffix, and in that case there would be something that he'd have to give the person. Or maybe because after all, even as a chumtum or androgynous, it's for a child at least. Maybe there's enough of a simcha over there, we would assume that's included. All right. Fine. Till now we've been talking about where, again, let's go back to the Mishnah had mentioned that he says, if my wife gives birth to a boy, then he's going to get a mona. And if a girl, then 200.
It's all about the good news now.
Now we're off the topic of the good news. That was Ravina had used that to explain the last braisa when we said ein loy el amana. Regardless, he's only getting a mana. It's talking about not the child themselves, but rather the mevasa, the one who brings the good news. Yeah. So now let's go back to our mission. Ahuda amalal the dvesu. There was a man who said to his wife. Nichsi lahai de ma'abris. My nechazi, this guy was a shchiv in Abapashtus. He says to his wife, who's pregnant, my nechasim should go. All of my nechasim should go to the child that you're carrying. So now the Rashbam understands that we're not necessarily talking about a shchivna. We could be talking about a bori, and he would be mezakeh through somebody else. He would have somebody else be zoicha on behalf of the unborn baby. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that we're talking about a shchivna over here. So he said that. But the question is, does that work? Amar Rav Huna, have a mizaka la'uber. That means that he's trying to be mizaka to an unborn baby. The mizaka la'uber like Kona, and you can't be mizaka to an unborn baby because he's unborn yet. So even if you were to say, the Rashbam says, even if you were to say, when he's born, these minachosim should go to this baby, when he's born, Rav Huna himself actually says later on in the, Rav Huna himself says later on in the sugya, we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem, that even in that case, that if he said whatever he said while she was pregnant is still not going to be effective, and the child's not going to get it even after he's born.
Even though you see that she's carrying.
Even though she sees that she's carrying, nevertheless.
And because after 30 days, 6 days.
Yeah, then after 3 months or whatever, still, yeah. So Rav Huna holds it still doesn't work.
Now this is Matana? This is
Matana. We're talking about Matana.
You can't give Matana before also.
Because the baby's not born yet.
No, but what's the Shvach? You can't give Matana for somebody who's not here, right? That's
what the Gemara is going to discuss. Eistveir of Nachman Rav Huna. So Tosfos, by the way, points out, if we're talking about a Shchivra, usually we say whatever a Shchivra says is a done deal. However,
can go against
Tosfos says the fact is, since by a body it wouldn't work, even if you makna through somebody else, therefore by a Shchivra such a thing can't work either. Tosfos mentions a point later on in the Perek, we're going to have actually a case where a Shchivra is able to say something that wouldn't be affected by a body at all, but by a Shchivra it works. A different case where he wants to transfer halva to somebody else, but nevertheless, Tosfos says that that case is different. That case is different than this one. Gilyan Ashasra, Akiva Eger wonders why, in fact, it should be different. And then there is some discussion about why Taka should be different, but nonetheless, that's what it is. So even if we're talking about Shchivna over here, Rav Huna is saying because it's an unborn baby, and he's not able to be Kona yet, therefore you can't be Makna to him even through somebody else. Eistvei Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, how could you say that? What about our Mishnah? We have the man is saying, if my wife gives birth to a boy, he should get a mana. Yolda Zocha Noto Mana. And if she gives birth to a boy, then he gets a mana. So you see that it is possible to do that. Omalei, so Rav Huna answers Mishnah, Seinu Eni Yadeh Mishnah. I actually don't know who is the Tana of our Mishnah that we should, if we know at least, if we know at least who the Tana of our Mishnah is, we can discuss and we can relate it to a known halacha someplace else, then we can say the halacha is like it. By saying any Adan Mishnah, in effect, Rav Huna is saying, I don't believe that this Mishnah is correct. I think that there's something wrong with this Mishnah. And we can't paskin according to it.
Can we understand the difference when not to come back. You should talk about just giving the person.
So that's what Gemara is going to now discuss. The Gemara is going to now go through all the possibilities. Tosfos points out that Rav Nachman himself holds later on in the sugya hamizaka la'uber lekona, that you can't be mizaka to an unborn baby. So the question isn't only on Rav Huna. The question is on Rav Nachman himself. But Tosfos says because later on in the sugya we're going to have Rav Nachman is going to say fine, he's not koinen now when he's unborn, but eventually when he's born he'll be able to be koinen. So therefore, said Rav Nachman would understand. So Rav Nachman would understand our Mishnah that way. And a couple of possibilities as well. Rav Nachman could also understand the Gemara is going to mention later on the point. Daitishol Adam Kroyve. So Benoy, a person has a particular love and affinity towards his child, even if the child is unborn yet. Therefore, by his own child, it might be different. Rav Nachman would say then our Mishnah maybe is talking about an unborn child who is not his. But the point is, on Rav Huna, Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, how could you say, I'm a Zaka L'Oba Leikona across the board, when in our Mishnah, we see that it does work. So Rav Huna is saying, again, in Mishnah, saying, any Adam Mishnah, I don't know who taught our Mishnah, meaning I don't accept that our Mishnah is the actual final halacha. So I asked, why not? The Leimalei Rav Meiri. Why can't we say that our Mishnah is according to Rav Meir? Rav Meir says that you're able to be machna something that doesn't exist in the world yet. And the Rashbam adds, Rav Huna himself holds like Rav Meir. The Gemara brings he brings from a Gemara in Yevamos where you have an entire chain over there. Rav Huna holds in a certain din like Rav, and Rav holds like his Rebbe Rav Yanai, and you go back and forth. You go back further and further back in the chain until you get to Rav Meir and to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and Rav Akiva, where we say that Adam Machna Davar Shalom B'Olam. Rameir's particular din is in Kiddushin. You have, for example, a Goy gives Kiddushin to a Jewish woman, and he says, obviously, right now it's not going to work because I'm still a Goy, but when I'm this Gayer, then this Kiddushin should take effect. And Rameir allows it. It's Davar Shalom B'Olam, because he's not a Yid yet, but nevertheless, Rameir allows it. And again, since as the Rashbam says, Rav Huna himself holds like Rameir in that regard, then why does he say our Mishnah is like Rameir, and then it would work? The answer is Amar Shamat Rameir Dilodabash Yeshna Ba'olam. Sure, we can say that Rameir holds that you can be Machna Davar Shalom B'Olam, at least when the thing exists, Lid Davar Shalom B'Olam. When you're talking about you being Machna through somebody who exists in the world. So, for example, in Rameir's scenario, the Goy already exists, the man already exists, he's just not a Yid yet. As opposed to over here, the Davar Sha'ena Ba'olam Mishamatle, where do you ever see that he would hold that you can be Machna to somebody who doesn't exist yet in the world, the baby who's not, the baby who's not born yet? Hagoyes HaBach actually points out that Rav Meir himself may well hold that you could be Machna to somebody who doesn't exist yet. We might say differently than the Rashbam. The Rashbam is saying the Goy already exists, he's just not a Yid yet. The Bach points out a little differently, brings from the Maharshal, that actually you could say maybe that he's not considered to exist yet, because as a Yid he doesn't exist yet. Rav Meir himself would hold that even in that case it would work. When we're saying that Rav Huna holds like Rav Meir, maybe he doesn't mean to that as far as that particular detail. Fine, but even if he doesn't hold like Rav Meir in that particular detail, he holds like the Chachamim, nevertheless, Rav Meir does, and that would be reason enough to say. Why is Rav Huna saying, Mishnah, say any damn Mishnah, I don't know who taught our Mishnah, as though I can't find any Tana who holds this way, when at least we should say Rav Meir holds that way. And the answer is that no, even Rav Meir would say that only you could, that would say that you can't be Machna to somebody who doesn't exist yet. We would in fact say that like the Rashbam says, that just for a Goy to say after I become a Ger is considered Davar Shebala Olam, because he does exist in the world, he's just not a Ger yet. So he can't say that all missionaries like Rav Meir. Okay, v'leimale Rav Yosi. Why can't Rav Yehuda say that? Why can't Rav Huna rather say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Yosi? To Oma Uberkani, where we see that Rav Yosi holds that an unborn baby is able to be Kona, the Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Yevamos as follows. Now we have like this. We know that if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. Now also, what happens if her husband passes away, but she has a son from the Kohen, a child from the Kohen, then because the child is allowed, the child is a Kohen, or a daughter of a Kohen, and allowed to eat Truma, so is the mother. But the Mishnah says over there, Uber Hoisel Ve'ene Machil Divri Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says that if she's pregnant and carrying an unborn baby, and she doesn't have any living children from her husband, the Kohen, she and her Avodim would not be able to eat Truma. Meaning, in other words, that we say like this. Because she's a Yisraelis, Rav Yosi holds that the unborn baby in her womb is considered himself a Zar. When he's born, he'll be a Kohen, but until he's born, he's considered a Zar. So therefore, at this point, now, the baby already owns a share of the Avodim that belong to the father, because eventually, when he's born, he's going to inherit them. So even right now, Rav Yosi considers that he has a certain degree of ownership of them. Therefore, as a Zor owning Avodim, they can't eat Truma. So we're not even focusing on whether she can eat Truma. The point is that the point is that they can't eat Truma, because now, in effect, they belong to an unborn baby who is considered a Zor. So that's Poiso.
They're
talking about Avadim Kananim. So they belong to the wife. They belong to the father. The father has passed away.
Passed away.
But now, and before the child was born. So now, in effect, they belong to the child, but to the degree where the child is considered, the unborn child is considered a Zor, and therefore they can't eat Truma. So that's Poisel. The Enim Machil, we don't say We don't say they should be able to. Eine macho means that the mother herself. Now again, the mother herself would be, once the baby is born, she'll be able to eat truma because of her child. But as long as the child is unborn, then she can't. That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos actually brings from Rashi and Yevamos that it explains, who explains Poisel and Eine Machil as both referring to the mother, neither of them referring to Avadim, but rather Poisel would mean that if his mother was a Bas Koyan married to Yisrael, then she can't eat Truma because she's pregnant with him, and the Eine Machil, and the other way around, if it was a Bas Yisrael married to a Koyan, she wouldn't be able to eat Truma on his, because of him. So Tosfos says that's not really applicable to our Gemara over here. The point in our Gemara over here, we're trying to establish whether an unborn baby can own anything. So that would only fit with the Rashbam's explanation that we're talking about whether the unborn baby owns these avodim or not. In any case, we see Rabbi Yossi holds he does. So we see Rabbi Yossi holds an unborn baby is able to be koyin or something. But the Gemara says, shiny Yerusha, Abal Me'elech. Fine, but it's different with Yerusha, comes automatically. So you can say, fine, as soon as the father dies, then the unborn baby is already implicitly yaushining everything that his father had, including the Avodim. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says they can't eat Truma.
Means the father doesn't say anything.
Right. As opposed to here, we're talking about the father trying to be machne to an unborn, the man trying to be machne to an unborn child. Rabbi Huna says, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't allow such a thing. Alright, so you want to ask Vilay Malay Rav Yerichim and Breukahi. Fine, why doesn't Rav Huna try the answer that our Mishnah is like Rav Yerichim and Breukah, Dharma Loshna Yerusha Veloshna Matana, whereas we learned in the previous parak, Rav Yerichim and Breukah holds that there's no difference as far as between Yerusha and Matana, as far as giving to somebody who would usually be able to yaushin him, but he's preferring that one over others. Like we have the case, he's saying one son among all his other sons, he's giving his nechassim to. And Rabbi Yechon and Bereka had said that there's no difference between, Yerusha and Matana. Ditnan, we learned in the previous parak, Rabbi Yechon and Bereka, Im Omra Mishiroi Liyoshoi, if he says, for example, that I want one son among all my sons to inherit all my property, and the son is capable of yaushening him because he's one of his sons, Dvor of Kayamim, then what he said is valid. So by the same token over here, we can say that he's saying that I want my unborn baby to get these nechassim. So even he's not saying, if he was saying a Loshon Matana, then it would work. That it would work even according to the Chachamim. The reason we're focusing on Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah, Tosfos says, is because we're saying that Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah didn't mention a Loshon and a Matana over here, so we should assume it means Yerusha, and that would work only according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah. But still, why can't we say that our Mishnah is referring to as according to Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah? And then again, we have a known Tana who holds that, and then Rabbi Huna can't say Mishnah Steinu Eini Yodei Mishnah. So the Gemara answers again. Again, Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah, like Rabbi Meir before, is going to hold that only to be machne to somebody who already exists. He has a bunch of sons, and he wants to say one son is going to inherit everything. Then he's able to do that. Where do we ever find Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah saying such a thing when the child doesn't exist yet? Fine. Why don't we combine together the opinions of two Tanoim? We'll say Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah, who says that a person is able to give to one child among all the other children, and that also he agrees with Rabbi Yossi that an unborn baby is able to yarushin. We just said before in the case of the unborn baby of the wife of the Kohen, of the almana of the Kohen and the Avodim, we said Rabbi Yossi says that an unborn baby is able to own Avodim. We just said it's different by Yerusha than Matana. Fine, if we combine that together with Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah's opinion that he's able mitzad Yerusha to prefer one child over the others, then our Mishnah will work according to that. The answer is fine, but who says that Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah agrees with Rabbi Yossi? To say that, you would have to invent the concept that Rabbi Yechon ben Breukah agrees with Rabbi Yossi. We don't know that that's the case. He may well hold, like the Chachamim, that the unborn baby isn't a factor as far as the Avodim eating Truma or not. Alright, the Gemara says, V'loy Melei B'Masreini. Fine, why don't we say that our Mishnah is talking about the case that we talked about at the top of the Amud, where he's saying that the mana is going not to the one who gives me the good news. The answer is ihochi dukatani sefer. Fine, but if you were going to say that, then what would you do with the fact that the sefer of the Mishnah continues that if it was a trumtum or androgynous, he's not getting anything because if it's a trumtum, then he doesn't get anything because the trumtum we said is a berry b'fnei atzma. But the Mishnah had said, im ein shem yodish elohu, if there's no other yodish other than him, then he yarshins everything.
The trumtum.
Oh. So that's the point. So the mention Yodesh Elohu Yodesh Hakol. He said if there's no Yodesh other than him, then he yarshins everything. The im vasterini Yodesh Maya Vidte. If you're talking about the one who gives me the good news, then Yerusha is not a factor over there. He's not yarshining anything. So obviously we're talking about that he's giving to the actual child, not to the mevaser. Well then we're back to the question. So who would our Mishnah be like?
Again, we can't do Yechon and Breuker because...
Can't do Rabbi Yechon and Breuker because the only way to make that work would be if Rabbi Yechon and Breuker holds also like Rabbi Yossi, that he can be Makna, that an unborn baby is able to be Kona, and we don't have any reason to say that Rabbi Yechon and Breuker holds like Rabbi Yossi. Alright, the Gemara says, V'leimalei v'shei Yolda. So fine, why don't we understand that our Mishnah is talking about
when his wife gives birth,
he's saying, then I will give X amount to the child. So he's not being machna yet to the trial. He's just making a statement now of what he's going to do after.
So if Shmuel says something like that, he says that right now I'm on my deathbed, but with my Uber, that's going to be my...
No, so if he's saying, in other words, that he wants that Bisha Yolda, I expect to still be alive when the child is born. So he's let's say, you know, his wife is going to give birth another day or two or whatever, yeah. You know. So he's saying, right now, I'm making a commitment. When the baby is born, if it's a boy, X amount, and if it's a girl, X amount. Why don't we say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about? And then in that case, then fine. So the Mishnah is not talking about an unborn baby about an unborn baby being koina. Here, Rav Huna had said that an unborn baby can't be koina. What about our Mishnah? Any idea Mishnah? Well, fine. The Mishnah is not talking about giving to an unborn baby either. The Mishnah is talking about that he's making a commitment what he's going to do after the baby is born. But the Gemara says, Yehochi the Katani Sefer. Yeah, but if you're going to understand that way, what about the Sefer of the Mishnah had said, the Imoma Kol Masha Tevid Ishti Yito, if he said, whatever happens, whatever kind of baby my wife has, will get the amount, Hareza Yito, then what do you mean, Kol Sha Tevid? What do you mean, whatever she will give birth to? Kol Sha Yodim, by the way, the expression should be, what she did give birth to. So the Gemara finishes off, but whatever, the Gemara says, V'lei Malay, so why don't we have yet another possibility? Rav Huna can answer that, D'Oma Lichsha Teled, maybe the Mishnah could be talking about that he's saying, when we tried to say Bishi Yolda, then it would mean, in other words, that he was saying that my wife has given birth, and if it was a boy, I don't know yet what it was, but if it was a boy, then X amount, if it was a girl, X amount. But the problem is, then the Mishnah had said, Kol Sha Tevid. So now we're saying something else. Now we're saying that before we weren't talking about a commitment for the future. We were talking about the baby's already born, he just doesn't know yet what it is.
For the reward.
Right. For the reward. But then the problem is that the Mishnah says, if he says Chetelin, so now we're saying something else. Let's say we are talking about a future commitment. He's saying that right now I'm committing to that right now I'm saying 100 or 200, when the baby is born, then he's going to be Koine. Now, Rav Meir and the Chacham argue about whether you can be Maknas Davar Shalai Bala Olam. We could say maybe already the baby exists to a certain extent. It's unborn yet, but it still exists in the womb. So therefore, we could say that at least when he says Lachsha Tailored, when she gives birth to it, then it would work. Or maybe fine, we could say it's only according to the mayor. But again, still, why is Rav Huna saying any Adam Mishnah? I don't know who taught our Mishnah, when we could at least say we're talking about that he's saying Lachsha Tailored. It's not that Rashbam explains. It's not Mezakal Uber because he's saying he's only going to be Zorcha when he's actually born. And the answer is Rav Huna l'taimei. Rav Huna is going according to his svara. The Omer Rav Huna aflach shetevad lekarna. If he says that, even as a commitment in advance, it still doesn't work. Rav Huna holds you can't be mezaka to an uber even when you say lich shetevad, that I'm not being mezaka to him that he owns it right now, but it's pending until he's born. Rav Huna says that's still not going to work because when he's being machna, it's still an unborn baby. Therefore, Rav Huna holds it's not going to be able to take effect even after the baby is born.
There's no lashon that let's say Shechivra could say his wife is pregnant, he's a shuvana.
Well, that's what Rav Huna is saying. There's no way to. That's what Rav Huna is saying. There's no way to. So therefore, so it's not going to work. So that's why Rav Huna is saying Mishnah saying any day Mishnah. I don't know who taught our Mishnah, because how can you make it work? There doesn't seem to be any way to be mezaka to an uber, even if you're going to say that even if you're going to say I'm saying it now and it should take effect when he's born. Sure. Rav Huna would still hold that it's not going to work. As we're going to continue in the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to discuss this point of this machlokas of Rav Nachman and Rav Huna about mezaka the uber. And again, so Rav Huna is not contradicted by our Mishnah, because Rav Huna is not contradicted by our Mishnah. Fakert, he says, I don't think that our Mishnah represents the view of any known Tana that we should be able to say that it has to be that way. On the contrary, we should have to say that Hamazakal Ubalakana, and therefore there's no way to make it work. So that point we'll continue with tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and then analyze it in more detail.